Good evening, I'm Kermit Poling, and welcome to our fourth in a series of programs investigating the school graduation rates throughout the country and here at home. Tonight we'll be investigating how higher education has gotten involved to help address graduation issues in high schools. So I want to thank you for joining us for American Graduate, Youth in Jeopardy, The Dropout Crisis. I would also like to remind you that your questions and comments are welcome at 800-552-8502. And as tonight we'll be looking at programs that are successful in achieving their goals, any ideas that you may have as you're listening to the show will be welcomed as well. So again, our number, 800-552-8502. And joining me tonight in the studio is Dr. Paul Sisson. He's the provost and vice chancellor at LSUS. Christiane Wojcik is director of academic services at LSUS. And also Sandra Bigham is the coordinator of dual enrollment at Southern University Shreveport. So thanks to all of you for coming tonight.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Paul, let's start with you. Can you, one of the programs that's out there that's available is, of course, dual enrollment, which we hear a lot about, especially on Red River Radio. So can you tell us a little history of how dual enrollment started and how it works?
Sure, I'll be glad to. And as far as the context of this discussion, you know, dual enrollment is it's a very big program, and it has a lot of benefits. But as far as helping the dropout rate, you know, we can talk about how it inspires kids in high school to maybe look beyond high school and just have college in mind. But briefly, dual enrollment is an opportunity, and it's offered by many universities, four-year and two-year campuses, to give kids college credit, give them the opportunity for college credit while they're still in high school. And it begins in the junior year, so when they are juniors and seniors, they can start earning college credit.
Mm-hmm. And how many students enroll at LSU? Let's talk about both LSUS.
Sure.
And
it has really grown at LSUS over the last 5 years. I think it was 5 years ago that we had 12 in a fall semester. We now have 882 kids in this region enrolled in college classes through LSUS.
12, and I'm sorry.
It went from 12 to 882.
882. Yeah, I would say there's some growth in the program there. What about at Southern, Sandra?
Southern average is about 350, 360 per semester, so average of about 700 total enrollment for the year.
So this is a significant program.
It is.
So is there a cost for students involved? How does this work?
It is completely free for the students. This is something that it is supported. It kind of depends on the year. Sometimes it's fully supported by the state. Sometimes, as you know, when the state is feeling a budget crunch, then towards the end of the year, we wind up finding out it's not going to be fully supported. But as far as the kids and their parents are concerned, it is completely free.
Okay, so if the state isn't funding it, then what happens?
We pick up the cost.
All right, the difference.
Yeah, the universities do that on their own. So when the students enroll, what classes can the students take?
Oh, we can talk about that for a long, long time. And,
well, we have an hour or so. Let's see what we can figure out.
One nice thing is that it's nice to have both Southern and LSUS here because we don't really compete. We offer different opportunities.
Right.
And so starting with LSUS, we offer everything from college algebra, couple of different varieties of math, so college algebra, pre-calculus, trigonometry, all the way up through calculus. And we've got history and English and psychology. And Christiane, help me out here. We've got such a variety.
Well, pretty much at LSUS, we're covering all of the academic core subjects. So math, science, English, social studies, communication, psychology. We have fine arts courses and music courses. Most of the things that students are looking to have in order to graduate on a TOPS track, of course, to go to college here in the state of Louisiana with that TOPS opportunity scholarship, they've got to have those core courses.
Right.
And that's pretty much what LSUS is sticking to as far as our offerings.
Okay. Sandra?
Southern has the privilege of allowing students to come under work skills as well as developmental in addition to the college courses. Mm-hmm. Most people are not aware that there are three ways that you can take dual enrollment. The program has really evolved. I've been the program coordinator now for about 10 years, and I was one of the ones that first started the grant with it. So it's evolved from just core studies. Mm-hmm. And we now offer work skills, meaning that you have students that may not have the opportunity to graduate and go directly into a four-year institution.
Right.
The state now requires that those students receive remedial instructions before they can go to a four-year institution.
Okay.
Southern fills that gap by offering developmental courses in math and English. We also provide work skill courses for those students who may want to graduate and don't want to do a full four-year curriculum. They want to receive some type of training and go
right.
directly into the workforce.
Right.
So we offer those courses that bridge that gap and provide them with a career pathway to do that.
All right. Makes sense. Our number is 800-552-8502. And right off the bat, we have our very first caller. This is, I think, Walker from Atlanta. I'm not sure if it means Atlanta, Georgia, or if this is Atlanta, Texas. But in any case, Walker, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Well, I was listening to a lot of really good information, and I got a bunch of questions and a bunch of ideas. I guess I'll just fire off with my first question.
Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering, like, are there any kinds of, like, therapeutic music programs for the school systems with kids that are having trouble in the schools in Louisiana?
Well, that's actually a good question. Now, there are, of course, music programs within the school systems. Now, I'm not sure about therapeutic music, per se.
I was going to say, this might be a question for you, Kermit.
I'm the musician in the house here. I've been involved in music education for a long time. That one is a little hard to answer. Maybe someone actually will have that answer, and they can certainly call in. Now, there are education programs definitely involved with music, and there have been, and of course, this show is centered a lot, even though we're a regional network, on what's going on in Northwest Louisiana. There have been programs that have worked with the symphony and with the opera going into the schools, and there have been a variety of programs throughout the years. In fact, there was one that was at Linwood School for 1 year that was interesting, and in fact, it was part of a study. But they exist. To what extent they exist, I don't have the details here. This wouldn't be something necessarily that at the college level you'd be providing for.
Well, Southern offers a music technology certificate. It's not
uh-huh.
necessarily therapeutic, but we have used it in those cases where kids don't necessarily have a focus, but they do have a very varied interest in music. And it's been very, very well received within some of the high schools, especially those high schools that have high school bands.
Mm-hmm.
Band programs. So we've gotten a lot of interest with that.
Okay. Walker, you had another question?
I was just going to say something that I've been doing pertaining to that question in Atlanta that's been helping a lot of kids like that.
Sure.
I'm going into music therapy in school now, but I work with, like, at-risk youth in Atlanta, usually,
right.
like, middle school age, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, I teach, like, African drumming to them, and we all, like, join together and have drum circles, but, like, just one of the things I noticed that it teaches them is that it gets everyone on an even equal ground with each other, so there's no, like, social cliques and all kinds of, it kind of, like, negates a lot of the bullying and, like, other problems that occur in schools that can kind of get kids off track, because that's a big problem I had in school was, like, I got, like, picked on a lot, so I felt unwelcome there. So by the time I was a senior, I was like, man, I've had it, you know. I stopped going, you know, and, like, so I've really been realizing, like, the importance of, like, respect among the student, you know, among the peers, like, the love and respect among the peers that needs to be
sure.
established, I think.
And I can see where that would be. I could see where that would be effective. And actually, that does relate to a program that the symphony here tried several years back, which was musicians going into the schools and getting kids who actually had no musical background to participate in that way. Now, long term, that didn't continue, but I could see where over the course of time that might be effective. Well, Walker, thank you so much for calling tonight. And if you have an idea that you'd like to discuss with us, or that may be a program that you're familiar with, give us a call at 800-552-8502. In particular, if it relates to our higher education institutions, universities and colleges in our area, and what they're doing to try to encourage high school kids to continue through college and hopefully get their degree or maybe pursue 2-year programs. I wanted to ask you about the getting back to the dual enrollment. Are these classes that are held on campus, or is this online, or how do these work?
Both on campus, on the college campus, but primarily on the high school campuses. But I did actually want to go back to the first caller, and in a kind of a tangential sense, he mentioned you know, reaching out to kids who don't quite fit in, who are not really in tune with maybe the high school track, the normal high school track, and that is something that Christiane and I've talked about a lot. Dual enrollment is a great way to reach kids who are just not quite fitting in. Maybe they're not finding things that are interesting to them in high school, and again, it might be that they need more of the work skills kinds of training, or they might really be looking for, say, a calculus class. And calculus is just not offered at their high school, so they're looking for something that's not offered, and that's one way we found this over and over again, that when we partner, when a university partners with the high schools, we can offer what the kids are really needing in order to stay in tune, realize that there is life beyond high school, and keep them in high school.
Well, and Kermit, getting back to something that you said about, actually you ask whether the classes are held on campus or at the high school campus, and it's a little bit of both precisely for that reason. Sometimes we have very excellent high school programs that have a wide variety of courses for students. And if they've got the students, they have the interest, they have the teachers, for about 95% of our LSUS dual enrollment students, they're actually taught at their high school. But we do have another group, like Dr. Sisson mentioned, maybe they are just a little bit disillusioned with high school, they're ready to get into something else. Maybe they are at a home school or at a private school that's not covered under some of the state funding. And so for those students, we actually do offer an alternate program where they come to LSUS's campus. They can actually do that starting their sophomore year in high school at age 15. So if they have openings in their schedule, if they have an interest in something that we are offering here on campus that's perhaps not at their high school, it does allow those high-achieving students to come here to get a taste of what college is going to be like, maybe to try out courses in some different disciplines to pursue a particular interest and see if that's something they want to go with.
Is that academic excellence?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And it's the same for Southern. We offer them the same type of profile if they want those classes delivered at the high school. A lot of times we receive students who may be only need maybe one credit to graduate, and they prefer to come on campus to take those remaining courses or begin their college courses in that environment so that they can see whether or not it's something that they think they can do. We also are moving towards online delivery for certain courses.
Right.
Certain courses with labs you can't do or wouldn't be necessarily practical, but a lot of the courses are offered online.
Right. Makes sense. Is anyone tracking how many students that enter these programs actually continue on? They're starting in high school. Do they actually continue on into college? And then how many of them get their degrees, either an associate's or a...
We are. We've got some preliminary data, and we're pretty encouraged by what we've seen so far. We're trying to track it more and more. So we hope that we keep on growing these programs. We hope to see success on many different fronts, but certainly one big one is the more high school kids decide to continue that college track, graduate from high school, and then go ahead and enter college. You know, that's really what we're aiming for.
Exactly.
And we really want them to get interested in the campus where they start, whether that's Southern, whether that's LSUS, and hopefully choose to stay here, because these are the kids that they're starting early, they're ambitious, you know, they don't want to fall into the topic of tonight, into this dropout group. And so ultimately we're hoping they choose to stay in Northwest Louisiana and that we can put them and their work skills back into the economy here.
Mm-hmm. We do have another caller online, so we're going to go to our call. Our number, by the way, this evening is 800-552-8502. And if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make tonight, we'd happily welcome them. This is Bernard from Lufkin. Go ahead with your question this evening.
Oh, my question was what specific programs are implemented that are directly, I mean, that you feel are directly relevant to encouraging it? In other words, is there a specific, is it like the Gear Up program, or is it more like an individualized program that is implemented by different universities?
Well, our about 95% of our students fall into this Early Start program, which is statewide in Louisiana. I'm not familiar with Gear Up, but this one is started by the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance for the purpose of students getting college credits in order to encourage them to continue on to a college track or a career track early on.
Well, studies have found that students that earn college credits early, they are more inclined to take advantage of that and use those credits to go into that university that they receive those initial credits for. But the good thing about the dual enrollment program in the state of Louisiana is that there's been an articulation agreement made where that if a student takes core courses from Southern and they choose to go to LSU, those courses will transfer. In addition to that, we also have a transfer degree that will allow students to come to a two-year institution and earn, I believe it's up to 60 college hours.
60. Mm-hmm.
60. Mm-hmm. And all of those hours will transfer to a four-year institution so that there's not a break in the education process.
Right.
And I think in the past what has been happening is that kids graduate or they fail to graduate or they don't pass the exit exam and they become discouraged. If they feel like they receive those college credits early, they can do that pathway, a career pathway. They can move on to either the two-year or the four-year institution, and there's not a break in their education, and therefore they are more inclined to complete that four-year or that two-year degree.
Right. So it really sounds like higher education really does have a place in high school to
try
to encourage it. And, you
know,
you mentioned something that it just reminded me, and I hadn't thought about this in years because it's been a long time since I was in school. But I actually did get college credits when I was starting when I was in 16. Now, they were music related. But I do remember that was something that for myself, I was like, I was proud of it. I got these college credits, ace the courses. And I thought it was going to be so much easier in college. And then I found out it wasn't. But still, it was from the standpoint of being an encouragement. It was really important to that. And it seems to me that really does have a place in encouraging.
Yeah, it does. And Kermit, I had the exact opposite experience. I did not have the opportunity for any college credit when I was in high school. And I was one of those high school kids. I was definitely at risk in the sense that I was not really into high school. I was not a student, and I just did not really find anything that kept my attention, and I could easily have been one of those students that just faded away. So I fortunately was not. I did go to college, and that's when I turned into a student. But if I had the opportunity to start becoming familiar with college when I was still in high school, I think my that possibility of being at risk would have been much diminished.
All right. Well, you're listening to American Graduate, Youth in Jeopardy, the Dropout Crisis. This is our fourth in a series of programs. And tonight we're investigating how higher education has gotten involved to help address graduation issues in high school. And for those of you that have been listening to this series, you know that it is a problem in Northwest Louisiana in particular. And my guests include Dr. Paul Sisson, who's the provost and vice chancellor at LSUS, Christiane Wojcik of LSUS, also director of academic services, Sandra Bigham, who's coordinator of dual enrollment at Southern University in Shreveport, and just joining us is Janice Sneed, vice chancellor of community and workforce development at Southern University in Shreveport. So Janice, welcome to you.
Thank you. How are
glad
you today?
Oh, we're doing just fine. So you're going to have to share microphones just so you know. I'll let you guys work it out how you want to divide up the room. Your number to call if you have any questions this evening is 1-800-552-8502. That is 1-800-552-8502. And Christiane, I'm going to address this next question to you because I know that your background is also as a teacher. So from the perspective of a teacher who's had that experience, can you give some perspective on the effectiveness of this program and other programs you might be familiar with?
Sure. Actually, I was a dual enrollment teacher for a year before I came into this job, so I had taught just in a general classroom, and I taught in a dual enrollment classroom as well. It's very encouraging for students to participate in dual enrollment, and I taught at a very, very at-risk high school where a large majority of the population were over age. It was a place where here in Caddo Parish schools, almost 50% of the students who came in as freshmen would not finish as seniors. So to be able to give these students the opportunity to get college credit early on, and you know, these were students who were not taking remediation classes with me. These were students who were very capable, high-achieving students in an environment where a lot of emphasis was placed on remediation and pulling students up from the bottom. These were kids who really didn't have a lot of opportunities to shine. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes what happens in schools that have been placed on academic watch or that the state has come in to help with improvement. And in those cases, using dual enrollment as a motivator for students who don't see a lot of successes around them is absolutely huge. You know, and the numbers aren't big. We had about 15 students last year that participated in dual enrollment at the school where I was, all of them earning between 3 and 6 hours of college credit, some from LSUS, some from Southern. But for those kids to be able to walk across the stage not only with a diploma but with a head start on the next couple of years, it was a really positive step for them. And it was positive for their classmates to see as well, because they saw them working on some higher level work. And of course, it always helps in a classroom to have students working on teaching one another, doing some cooperative learning that way, and those higher students really trying to encourage the ones who might have been struggling to get to May when they were seniors.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity for teachers to implement in their classroom. Plus, it really gives you something more to add in the classroom. You know, Louisiana operates under a comprehensive curriculum that we get from Baton Rouge, and that is not personalized for your school, your students. It's up to the teacher to do that. And this gives teachers one more thing to what we call differentiate instruction, which means, you know, give it in different ways to the kids however they need it, to really reach them, to motivate them, to interest them. And this just gives teachers one more tool in that toolbox to do so.
All right. The number to call, 800-552-8502, 800-552-8502. Another program that that I know we have at LSUS, I'm not sure if Southern has this, but related to La Prep.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about the program and how kids get involved in that?
Sure. And that actually begins at the middle school level. And that's La Prep is something that it has been around. Now, I'm going to take a guess here, but I think this is roughly correct. Probably about 17, 18 years, started by Dr. Carlos Spate in our math department. Very, very successful program. And it does much the same thing, but does aim at kids at a younger age. So it begins in middle school. Really targets kids who are at risk one way or another. And of course, there's many different ways they could be at risk. One of which is they might just be kids who, as we talked about, they're just kind of bored. They're not finding anything that is keeping them interested in school. And La Prep, it's a primarily math-focused program. One more reason why I love it.
Yeah.
And it really reaches out and grabs those kids and keeps them interested. It has a terrific success rate. So the kids who go through La Prep, they wind up going to college. They wind up the success rate is just phenomenal.
So this addresses kids at the middle school level. How did that idea get started? I mean, what was the inspiration for that?
Well, I think Carlos Bate really, I don't know what inspired him exactly, but I know he saw the need to reach kids at that level. There's a need to reach kids at every level, but he was really inspired just to focus on those kids. And of course, every such program begins very small. So it began with a very small budget and initially reached just a few kids, but it has grown. It's gotten good political support. He's won awards, and that brings more funding. So it has really grown over the years and now it reaches many, many kids.
Well, I've heard that no student that has enrolled in the La Prep program has dropped out of school. Is that
right.
True? That's
yes.
That's amazing.
Yep.
That is absolutely amazing. I will come back and talk a little bit about that in a moment. Janice, I want to ask you, since you're here now, what are the workforce and career pathways programs at Southern University?
Well, it takes many different, it has many different aspects to it, but I work in the Division of Community and Workforce Development, and that is the outreach arm of the institution. Mm-hmm. And we do try to meet individuals and young people in this case, in which we're talking about exactly where they are, whether it's summer camps to expose them to career areas that they may be interested in. We do allied health camps. We've gotten into the energy field, and we work with the Consortium for Education, Research, and Technology with Ms. Patty Trudell, and we do energy camps in the summer to expose young people to careers in that area. For years, we've done Biz Camp, which is an entrepreneurship program that we work with young people over to a two-week period where they actually start their own business. They get to market it. They get to present it before business owners in the community. It's a wonderful program. So we pride ourselves on exposing young people in the middle school arena to career opportunities as they're getting ready to go to high school to help them, you know, determine which pathway they're interested in.
Right. I know one of the concerns that kids may have, parents may have too, is, you know, when their kids eventually, hopefully, graduate high school and go on to school, what opportunities are going to be for them to work, to get a job, to support a family. And I know that that's an area that some people are concerned about because they feel that for whatever reason we might not have the opportunities here, or we just might not be aware of the opportunities there. Is that really how this program works?
Right. As Sandra probably described earlier, we have dual enrollment opportunities. We call them career pathways. Some people call them linkages, accelerated learning. But it's an opportunity for the high school students to get that college credit in that academic area in which they're interested in while they're pursuing their high school credit. So we try to help them to actually get certifications, whether it's a CPR certification or if they're interested in the hospitality industry, a food certification, some things along those lines to help them to get exposed to the industry before we send them off to college and spend a year's tuition and they realize, hey, I don't want to be a nurse. So we try to help them along those pathways. And, you know, some states have gotten so good at this, as they graduate from high school, they actually have an associate's degree. So we want to get our articulations just that strong in this area. And we are, you know, building those relationships with the high schools. And it's grown from just an interest in taking a course so I can have those courses out of the way to try to do an actual career pathway, and I think we're headed in the right direction there.
All right, we'll come back to that in a moment. We have our next caller. This is JL from Shreveport. Thanks for holding on, and what's your question this evening?
I grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, and the school system there started a program, and originally I guess they just called it Open Campus, but what it done was it allowed students to enroll there and take classes in the evening. We went from 3 to 10 at night. And it was high school, but you took evening classes. And what it done, it put all the responsibility on the student. Mm-hmm. And the teachers had a lot more control over their classrooms, I guess, you know. And for me, it really made a huge difference because, you know, the truth of it is I had no plan to finish school. And that was really what motivated my parents to allow me to enroll in that. But it totally, I did a complete 180 and ended up, you know, doing some college and all that. So, but I was curious, is there anything like that here in the Shreveport or area or anything?
We don't really have anything exactly like that, but it sounds like what you're describing certainly tries to achieve the same goals. And I think for both Southern and LSUS, dual enrollment does really do that. I've seen personally our dual enrollment efforts have reached kids and done exactly the same thing that you're describing. It just changes their entire attitude, completely changes their outlook, and they really at some point realize, wow, college is in my future. I am going to finish high school, and I'm going to go to college.
Mm-hmm. It's our intent to move in that direction. We're not called, I think you called it Open Campus. Mm-hmm. What we're looking at, some of the students that may be having trouble passing the exit exam, students that may be approaching actually dropping out, some of the older students that's reaching that 18 mark. We're looking at partnering with the high schools to allow them to continue to do the literacy piece, but to work with them in the afternoon on a skills area.
Right.
So that they, if they do drop out, they are at least getting some training whereby they can at some point have a livable wage. So we're looking at doing something along the lines of what you're describing, and it probably will be an afternoon type program to target individuals in the school system that may be just about to drop out, but we want to make that connection to college, and they may relate a little bit better with the older students on the college campus. They're probably feeling a little down about themselves, so we're kind of excited about that program.
It sounds like a really good program that JL is talking about. JL, how long were you involved with that?
They started it the year I entered 10th grade, and it was the second semester of 10th grade before I could convince my parents to let me go. So I did 2.5 years. I did 2.5 years with them, you know. Of course, you know, I did 2 tours of 9th grade.
Right.
School was not a, I did not like school at all. But a lot that had to do with the change in my attitude was the teachers that I had and the interest that they showed in the students. And, one of the key factors or key things about that program was it allowed, you know, we like it or not, but, you know, teenagers get pregnant. And so it allowed moms to be able to take care of their kids during the day and then go to school in the evening. And then for me, it was just, it just totally fit my personality, I guess, you know, and my whole attitude towards education I got to where I enjoyed learning, you know.
Right.
And now I did, not too long ago, I kind of checked up on it or whatever, and it has evolved to the point to where at that time we had one campus in the county that we went to. That school, they cleaned out the day school students, and then we moved in at night. But now, the school board there, they bought an old shopping center that was not functioning anymore or whatever, and they revamped it all, and they renamed the school to Phoenix High School.
Right.
And something that I thought was really neat is they've actually included a daycare there. Now they actually have classes all day long and into the evening.
Well, it sounds like a pretty involved program. Well, thank you so much for calling. And that was actually really, really interesting. And and I think that is. I mean, programs get started, and then we hope that they'll continue in a direction that can grow and expand. I was going to just ask, and it was sort of reflective of what he was commenting there, that, I mean, he's been through a program and it certainly affected his school performance. And I was wondering, in your experience, meaning all four of you here, these programs that have been you've been involved with, have you, you know, direct knowledge, maybe some anecdotes that from kids that have experienced the programs?
Well, we've been working with DeSoto Parish in trying to create a after-school type dual enrollment programs for those type of kids that in the rural area who attend very, very small schools, who wouldn't have access to the type of program that would be at the larger, more metropolitan schools. And it does address those teenagers, as he indicated, that may be early parents that might not have the opportunity to come to everyday school, and they're able to complete their high school courses as well as obtain the dual enrollment credit so that they can move past that.
Anyone else?
Yeah, there are lots of really nice stories, and yeah, this is definitely one of the best parts of being an educator. We get to see some of the positive things that we do. We see kids get turned around, and then, you know, being able to follow them and find out what they do with the start that we gave them, that's terrific. So yeah, we could talk about a lot of those stories. I've got one in mind, you know, someone who started taking classes at LSUS, actually on our campus, when he was a high school student. He was actually being homeschooled, and we were very happy that he was able to take those credits that he earned at LSUS, and he transferred to MIT and wound up graduating from MIT, I think with a 4.0, terrific student. I mean, we're so happy to have him here.
We would have
loved to keep him.
But
we're also happy to see him go off to MIT. We're happy that MIT took those credits, and you know, he's just a stunning success. I want to mention one more thing that this might not come up because it's definitely not on most people's minds, but these kinds of activities, it's not just a way to turn kids around. It's also a way to help schools turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Dual enrollment, and Christiane, I know, can say a lot more about this. She's a lot more knowledgeable. Maybe all three of you know more of the details than I do, but there's something called the school performance score, and the dual enrollment can really help high schools, especially an at-risk high school, increase their school performance score.
Well, I mean, the short version of how that works is every school, of course, is assigned now a school performance score.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed a little bit this year with going to the rating system with an A+, A, B, C that came out in the last few months. But they're assigned a number that's based on several different factors, including test scores, attendance, et cetera. And one of the things that can influence that number is the number of students that you graduate. It's a cohort index, basically,
mm-hmm.
based on the number of students who start as freshmen that finish as seniors and what they graduate with.
Right.
If they finish with a basic diploma, the school gets so many points for that student. But
mm-hmm.
if you add in things like an academic endorsement or career certifications, it adds extra points that the school gets for each one of those kids that finishes with those things. So dual enrollment is one thing that a student can show toward an academic endorsement. Basically, to get an academic endorsement, a student would have to have a certain GPA, a certain ACT score, and one of a selection of other things. In some parishes, that other thing could be, say, a senior project. Caddo Parish schools have not gone to mandatory senior projects yet, whereas DeSoto and Bossier are moving that way.
Mm-hmm.
So something you can do in place of that is to have 3 hours of college credit. So for each one of those kids that finishes with a 24 ACT and 3 hours of college credit, the schools are actually getting more points for those kids than they would for a regular diploma.
Right.
So in some cases, particularly here in Caddo Parish, at Byrd High School, the principal there has assured me that his SPS has gone up 12 points in the last 2 years, highly due to the number of dual enrollment students they have that have started to participate there.
Wow.
So it's great for the schools to work on sort of counterbalancing some things that maybe they don't have as much control over.
Right.
If you have a high attendance problem, you know, schools can do lots of wonderful things to encourage kids to come on campus, but if you have young parents, if you have kids that are having to work, sometimes the school just can't control that.
Right.
Offering opportunities like this to students, that is something a school can control.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. We have a number of people that are on hold, so we're going to go back to our phones. First up is Beverly of Shreveport. Beverly, thanks for calling this evening. Go ahead with your question.
I was wondering what kind of quality assurance checks are in place to make sure that the classes are being taught at the collegiate level in the high school.
All right. That's a good question, actually.
Very good question.
All right.
For Southern, all of our instructors have to be accredited, certified instructors, and meeting the criteria or the credentials required to teach at the college level. In addition to that, they also are required to teach by the syllabus and the college level books that are assigned to those classes on the campus. And we have to make sure that those teachers have those credentials that are necessary to teach that particular course.
And LSUS credentials are similar. The textbook might not be the same. We might allow a student to use a textbook they're using on their high school campus. But just like Sandra said, our high school teachers are using our college syllabi. In our case, many times the high school teachers are paired up with a faculty mentor, so someone who is senior faculty here at LSU Shreveport that can serve to help that high school teacher build a program, build tests and assessments, and really make sure that the rigor is the same thing that a student would experience should he or she come on campus.
All right. Our next call is Michael, who's in Nacogdoches, Texas. Thanks for holding on, and what's your question this evening or comment?
My question is specifically about the programs, in that are there activities, you know, part of it that allow the students to experience their possible interests, dislikes, you know, strengths, weaknesses, And I mean, and on top of that, you know, on top of that, is there experiences outside of that, those options? In that, you know, for example, when I was in school, I had the program that was called Taste of Technology, and we would go out to these different locations, and they would do this, you know, very interesting demonstration of how certain processes were, you know, performed, be it welding, construction, design, and then we were enlisted to do, you know, kind of a sample project, and then we were then shown the end product as if we had, you know, truly completed the work by ourselves.
Sure. I think probably the best thing right now that we're seeing in this area is that we are offering such a variety, especially when you look at the breadth offered by Southern and LSUS combined. So there are those opportunities to do, you know, things that the high schools just can't offer on their own. So a couple of things that came to mind as you spoke, especially for our science classes, when our science faculty are paired up with science teachers in the high schools, and if those science teachers want to give their kids exposure to some lab equipment that's just not at that high school, then those teachers are able to bring the kids to the LSUS campus, take a walk through our labs, participate in labs. I know there are similar programs at Southern where they can be exposed to facilities that just aren't on the high school campuses. And then maybe beyond, I think you started to talk about some maybe extracurricular experiences, and that is, you know, very important. That's another aspect of all this. We like to invite the high school kids who are involved in dual enrollment to come to the campus and take in some sporting events, take advantage of our library, again, interact with the college professors here, get to know them before they even graduate from high school.
For Southern, we've actually allowed some of our students that are taking the criminal justice courses to actually go to some of the correctional facilities. They've also participated in the judicial process where they've actually gone to the court and sat and witnessed actual trials in real time. So we do combine the on-site course experience with the off-site experience so that they can merge the two and get a better understanding for what it is that we're trying to show them.
Most dual enrollment students, at least at LSUS and I believe at Southern as well, they're allowed to hold a university student ID.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
There's really no difference on paper at all between a dual enrollment student and a traditional freshman here, which means they can come on campus as they want to. Athletic events, like Dr. Sisson said, use facilities,
right.
Use the research facilities and the libraries, et cetera. So mm-hmm. Really you would not know the difference on site whether you were looking at a traditional freshman or a dual enrollment student.
Yeah, you made mention of the career assessments and interest inventories, and the students would have access to that through our career services and planning office, and we do make those services available to them as well. It's a part of our intake process when we bring them on campus anyway as a full-time student. But as a high school student, if they are struggling with what direction they're going in, we would put them in contact with our placement center, our career center, to help them along the lines of doing an interest inventory.
All right. Our number, 800-552-8502. Our perspective tonight is how higher education has gotten involved to help address graduation issues, dropout rates in high schools. The number again, 800-552-8502. And we do have another caller waiting online. This is Michael from Shreveport. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. Yes, my question is, you know, what is really being done right now to actually change the school system? I think that we're in a time where technology is really advancing so quickly, and I think that the schools need to really advance with technology, and just what is going on right now to keep up to date with what's going on, and, you know, how are we actually teaching students to actually live in the real world and, you know, take care of debt so that we don't have debt problems? Maybe, you know, a solution to our debt problems would be in the school, teaching people how they should, you know, treat debt. So that's my question. How are we actually teaching students skills that they actually use? And it seems like typical math classes, things you will never, ever remember ever again, you'll never use. But we need more classes to learn how to take care of everyday problems.
I That seems like a career-oriented question to
right,
me.
Right, Michael, a good question. I happen to work with some of the grant programs at Southern University, Carl Perkins, some labor grants, and they particularly demand that we develop programs that are going to allow us to place individuals when they graduate from our programs. So we align our high school students with in areas that we know we're going to be able to put them to work. For instance, in the allied health or healthcare career field, when we're working with a high school student, we would start maybe with the CNA program. They may be able to get that CNA certificate prior to graduating from high school. Then after they graduate, they could continue on at Southern and maybe, you know, go into their LPN, go into this RN program. So we feel that that's, you know, that's real world. They can get a job in the marketplace at this time, you know, in the healthcare industry. We have, you know, other good programs as well that we align the students with that are in demand. LSU does as well. But that's all I have to say at this point. You had a pretty broad question, Michael.
That was a very big question. It touched on a lot of different topics, one of which I think was how do different schools, high schools and universities, acquire and master the new technology and use that technology to improve education? And I don't think we have time to answer that question completely. So I would sum it up by saying our dual enrollment partnerships really give us a way to create a lot of different experiments. So really, the way we attack this, every one of our partnerships is a little bit different. We really tailor each partnership to the strengths and to the weaknesses of the campuses involved. And so when you look at the whole big picture, we have so many different ways in which high schools are trying to improve their education success, the success of their students, and they're coming up with those ideas often through partnerships with the universities.
Go ahead.
Another one of the ways that's being addressed also is that's why dual enrollment has been divided into those three levels.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have that kid that just, hey, I'm going to a four-year institution, and I've got the grades, and I've got the ACT, and I'm ready to go. But you do have that kid that may not be at that 4.0, who might be actually a 2.7, who needs a little bit more hands-on, mm-hmm. who can actually take more of a work skills career pathway, and as he develops his thoughts or his direction and he wants to go, then he can say, I need some help in this particular area, and we're here to help that high school identify that pathway so that kid can get what he needs and move forward in a short period of time.
How does let's say you have someone like that that's in high school and they're in that situation, how do they get involved with something at one of the universities for either the remedial education
That first contact is with the high school counselor.
Okay.
That high school counselor is our lifeline because we go to them and say, look, which area does this student need to be directed?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, we've got my higher achievers over here. I have my workforce students here. And then I have this set of kids that need a little bit more help. Because we piloted a program maybe a year or so ago now, where we offered developmental classes to one of the schools that had a high at-risk score.
Right.
Once they completed the developmental class, they took the exit exam and they retook the ACT. Mm-hmm. And in both cases, these scores increased. That in itself gave that student more self-assured. Mm-hmm. They became more self-assured and were able, and at that point they decided, okay, I can take this. Then I can do something else and move forward and actually finish school and in a career that's going to help me now rather than trying to go directly in an area that they're not prepared to do. We have the online courses that allow them to do that and support them with a proctor in that particular classroom.
Right.
So we recognize that students, even though they're great and wonderful, they can be easily distracted.
Right.
And when they're taking an online class, we found that they do much better if they have a proctor in that room with them to make sure that they are taking care of their student assignments, their research papers, or whatever is necessary for them to pass that course.
Gotcha. Our number to call, 800-552-8502. I know we have a couple people that have been waiting on hold. Next up is Glenn from Mansfield. Go ahead with your comment, your question.
Hello.
Hi.
I've been listening. It's fascinating. Higher education certainly plays a role in our children's development. I wonder about the young men that would make good bricklayers and carpenters and welders and auto mechanics and aircraft mechanics, if they could get a hands-on taste of what those are. I haven't seen any skills courses offered through any of the high schools or the colleges. Perhaps I've just missed it. Or do you all defer to VOTEC and just say, well, he's for VOTEC and we don't look at him anymore? I just don't understand, you know, what percentage of children that graduate high school go on to be successful college graduates?
All right, thank you, Glenn.
How many stumble and fail and borrow so much money that they're so deep in debt, and they take a job at Home Depot, and they're still in debt, and they're in debt, and they're in debt, and they're in debt.
Okay, well, Glenn, thanks for your question. I think we have lined up answers here, ready to address exactly that issue.
Addressing the first part of your question, Glenn, with regard to the technical training, career training at the college level, we offer some of the things that you mentioned, but you are correct. Much of that training is offered through the technical school. And here in Caddo Parish, we do have a career center where they offer a number of technical and career training programs. And I'm sorry, I don't work, you know, I'm not there. I don't have the complete list, but they do have a number of hands-on career and technical offerings at the career center. And they do direct a number of their students in that direction. And they do a wonderful job. They've received national recognitions for their programs there. At Southern University, you mentioned aircraft technician. We do have an aerospace maintenance program that's really going quite well. The cost of the program makes it kind of hard for us to maintain it, but I can proudly say that the students that we receive into the program, they graduate, they get their FAA certifications, and they start at a minimum in the $30,000 range. So we're very proud of that program, and we are trying to attract more of our high school students to participate in that program, and we've had conversations with Caddo Parish Schools to do an articulation agreement to allow some of the high school students to come take possibly the programs in the afternoon. So we work on that. A lot of times it's the dollars, the resources don't allow you to do as much as you would like to do, but there are programs there, but there is room for more and room for improvement.
Well, Glenn, you're also the second caller in a row to mention debt. And of course, that's been a big topic in the news lately with the Occupy protests, et cetera, and the fact that student debt is set to surpass credit card debt if it hasn't already done so. And just as a reminder, you know, anything here through dual enrollment, whether that is funded by the Early Start program or funded by private programs like LSUS's AEP, which is funded by a separate grant from Capital One, these programs come to these students at no cost. So the parents are not putting out money for these students to earn these college hours, for them to earn these career certifications, and if they're going through one of these programs. So in the case of some students who are bound for a four-year college, they can come in maybe with as many as 50 or plus hours of credit done at zero cost. So they're not footing the bill for 4 years of education. They might be footing the bill for two, but in some cases there's other opportunities like TOPS, et cetera, that are going to step up to fund that. So programs like this are doing the opposite of feeding the debt. They're actually giving students opportunities to get an education without those mounting bills.
Right. We have another caller on the line. We'll come back in a moment to that. This is Sanji of Alexandria, who's been waiting for a while. Sanji, go ahead with your question.
Hi. This has been very wonderful listening to you. I'm not originally from here. I'm from Chicago, but living in Alexandria now. And as a practicing pediatrician, I see a lot of high schoolers who come in and who may have even won tonight, who had wonderful grades. She makes all Bs, has one C. And we were talking about her plans, and she says she's planning to go to VOTEC to be an LPN. And, you know, we had a lot of discussion. And my concern is after she told me her ACT scores, and I was, you know, trying to say, well, how does that translate her A's and B's, her 1C, and she's generally an AB student, into an ACT score of, you know, 14 or, you know, or 15, which is not very good. How can we, you know, get maybe some people from the colleges into the schools or something like that? Because obviously, I guess the high schools can't really fill in that gap. I'm not really sure what's going on here. To kind of help them and to say, okay, you want to do this, you want to be a nurse or you want to be, you know, a pharmacist or something like that. How can we get their scores up, you know, with some kind of program, maybe through dual enrollment, I'm not exactly sure, to help these kids out who have good scores, but just, you know, good grades, but can't seem to get the ACT together.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the opportunities with dual enrollment when we do the developmental courses. They are offered to that type of student who maintains the average, but for whatever reason cannot increase the ACT score or the plan score. So we do offer them the remedial English, the remedial math, and that's where we found that most of those students fall into those two categories when their scores are not where they want them to be. So those classes are offered online, and we would be glad to reach out and try to go into that particular high schools or the high schools in the Alexandria area and offer them. And perhaps the local schools there may offer the LSU, Alexandria may have it.
Continuing ed through the various schools have a number of programs that could help the students bring those scores up if they start early. But, you know, sometimes that's just going to be where that student is, so we need to start them off in the right place. Oftentimes we have parents that just got what I call hoop dreams, I guess, in part about their kids, and they got them targeted for one school, and they're not ready. So it's okay to do that pathway. It's okay to start at Southern Shreveport and get that LPN and work your way on up to that 2-year RN, and then continue on to the next school that has the 4-year degree. It's okay to do it through a pathway if by chance, you know, that student is struggling with the test scores and the entry requirements. That's what we're here for, to meet those students where they are.
All right. We have just a couple minutes left in the program here. It's been actually a really fascinating discussion. We've had some great callers here. So giving you each about 30 seconds to sum up or maybe just have just tell how people can get involved or find out more information about the programs at the various schools. Sandra, you want to start off?
They can reach us at 670-9384 is a direct number for dual enrollment programming, or www.susla.edu, and we'll be more than glad to either answer those questions directly or forward them information.
For LSUS, you can reach us at dualenrollment@lsus.edu. Again, if you're interested in taking a course at your high school, please talk to your high school counselor. If you're interested in coming on campus, please contact us here on campus so we can get you more information about that.
Hello again, I'm Janice Sneed. If you want to know more about the outreach programs at Southern University, we actually oversee the adult literacy, GED, small business development, corporate training, continuing ed. If you want to know more about those various programs at Southern University, feel free to call 670-9470. And Sandra gave you the website, www.susla.edu. There are a number of programs that LSU didn't have time to talk about, and of course we didn't have time to talk about it, that Southern has to offer. So please do call Sandra or my office so we can help share more information to help us to help your students.
All right, Paul.
You've got the contact information, so let me just kind of sum up maybe all of this by saying, in my view, this is a win-win-win-win situation. So it's a win for everyone involved, for the students, for their parents, for the high schools, for the teachers, and of course for the universities. It really comes down to partnerships between all the parties involved, and everyone winds up benefiting.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank our guests again. You've been listening to Dr. Paul Sisson, provost at LSUS. We also had Christiane Wojcik, the director of academic services at LSUS. Janice Sneed, who's vice chancellor of community and workforce development at Southern University Shreveport. And Sandra Bigham, who's the coordinator of dual enrollment at Southern University Shreveport. It's been great having you here. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks to all of you who have called. This program was produced by Renee Moran with assistance from Bill Beckett and Wally Durkin. Early. Monolith. Bill Beckett was also the engineer. This project is funded by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting via the American Graduate Program of the National Center for Media Engagement and is a production of Red River Radio. I'm Kermit Bowling. Good night. Thanks for being with us. This is member-supported Red River Radio, a public radio service of LSUS. You're tuned to KDAQ, Shreveport, Bossier City, KLSA, Alexandria, Pineville, KBSA, El Dorado, Magnolia, and KLDN, Lufkin, Nacogdoches.